This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a zookeeper at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversation, we're going to be talking about patterns, skins that animals have, or their fur, for example, and how they look after it so they can survive in their environments.
Especially the pretty ones with the nice pretty patterns.
True, true. I'm trying really hard to think of a way that I can ask you about tattoos without it sounding creepy. Speaking of skin, Ashley.
Speaking of skin, I know yours looks weird. Yes, I have a lot of tattoos, mostly all up and down my legs, and they're like almost entirely animals. I've got like, and it's funny because I don't refer to them as like, this is my jaguar, this is my cheetah. It's like, this is my Duma, this is my Zara, this is my Boomer Paw. Like, it's all for animals here.
Mm. Yeah. Is there any tattoo that you want to explain, anything that means a lot to you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've got my first childhood dog, her paw print. I've got the feathers from my grandfather's hat. Like, he used to have a guinea fowl, barn owl, and chicken feather in his hat. Mm-hmm. So I've got that arrangement on my leg. Mm-hmm. I've got a jaguar. I've got a giraffe.
That's really cool.
Some of my favorite animals. Yeah.
I like it. If you've got like a story behind your tattoos, it's kind of like, you know, your body's like a book of the places you've been or the things you've done or
it's
the people
true.
That have
and
been important to you.
Almost entirely related to the zoo. Like, oh. And it's funny because at work we always wear pants, and that's why they're on my legs. Because I like to look very professional. But then if you see me out in the world just in like shorts, you know, in the summer, it's like, oh, okay. That's, I didn't know that that was there.
Yep, that's definitely Ashley.
Right? I've got some hidden patterns.
I can't relate to you on the tattoo thing. I'm
it's an
kind
addiction.
Of a
don't
blank,
start.
I'm a blank canvas.
Don't start.
I'm a fried egg. Hold the yolk. No salt and pepper. Please serve at room temperature.
It's true what they say, though. Your first one's really hard, and then past that, you're just like, that looks really cool. Put that on my body. Like my jaguar, though, it was actually a this tattoo artist actually posted it like, hey, I want to do this piece, is anyone interested? And I was like, put this on my body. And I went in and it was so funny. I was like so nervous because I'd never done that before. Like, I had literally been like, yeah, I'll do it. And then the next day went in, I was like, oh my gosh. And he was like, wow, you must really love animals. I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you work with animals? I was like, yeah. I was just like, just so out of it. He's like, what kind of animals do you work with? And I was like, jaguars. He's like, what? What do you mean? I was just like so out of it. I was like so excited and like couldn't believe it was happening like the next day. It was pretty funny.
That is awesome.
He was pretty excited that he got to put a jaguar tattoo on a jaguar keeper.
Yeah, that must be something.
Right.
And markings on animals are super important for them too.
Yeah.
It can help them camouflage. It can help them attract mates.
Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah.
Why a tiger has stripes?
I believe it's to blend in.
So they don't get spotted.
Oh.
I got you back.
Oh. This is what it feels like to be at the other end. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my god. A 7-year-old told me that joke like a week ago and it destroyed me.
I'm actually very proud of you. You are slowly transitioning.
I've evolved. You know what? Now I see why you do it, because I was very satisfying.
See? It is very satisfying. I think it's called a pun because it's punishment to the person you're giving it to. You know? That must be why it's called a pun. That's something.
It must be.
But yeah, like for example, polar bears are super cool because they have white fur.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually have black skin.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that.
It's so weird.
Their noses are black. Their eyes are black. Their skin underneath their fur is black. If you look at the bottom of their paws, it's black.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen it, but apparently sometimes a polar bear will cover its nose when it's waiting by a breathing hole for a seal.
Oh, that's really cool. So they don't spot it.
Yeah. I've never seen it before. Like, I've heard stories of it, but I've never seen it documented. And I don't know if this is a myth about something polar bears do or actually something they do.
Yeah, something that someone just said one time and everyone else was like, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. But I know that coloration is important. But, you know, we also don't think about this as well. Sometimes color can also affect how well you're able to thermal regulate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a black animal living in a cold environment, you actually do better. You absorb heat energy.
Yeah.
Right? At the same time, if you're a white animal or a pale-colored animal in a hot environment,
you're going to dissipate it.
Exactly.
Well, and that was one of the interesting things about... Okay, don't quote me on this, because I can't remember. But with zebras, because for the longest time, they always just thought, oh, well, zebras are striped for... It works as like... Gosh, what is it called?
Thermoregulation?
Well, that's the newer reason. But remember, it used to be because all the black and white... Like, it would make it hard for predators to see them.
Right.
Because all of that movement, the different stripes. Can't remember what it's called now. Like, a visual thing.
Mirage?
Yeah. It kind of, like, causes them not to be able to... It's one of those things that's on the tip of my tongue. You know what? It doesn't matter. But, yeah, now they're finding that it's actually for thermoregulation. Because one of them's absorbing heat, one of them's dissipating heat. And so it's causing this almost, like, circulation of air close to the skin. It's one of the other theories out there.
Yeah. I've heard also flies as well.
Yeah. So the pattern is providing so much more than we even understand, you know?
Mm.
It's interesting because we've always known about zebras and they're still trying to figure out why that pattern is exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
Which I find really cool.
I believe they're doing tests by putting stripes, black and white stripes on cows and figuring out how it affects them, which is kind of funny.
It's kind of adorable.
Yeah, kind of adorable, definitely.
Little zebra cows.
Zebus.
Zebus.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Well, like, when you think of animal patterns, everyone always thinks of, like, the classic tigers. Jaguars, cheetahs, you know, the spots and the stripes. But a lot of animals also have very specific patterns that feel boring, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Like lions, you know, they're that kind of yellowy, tawny color, which doesn't seem like a pattern, but it helps them to blend in with the grass in the savanna, right? And most young cubs have like that spotting to the bottom of them to help them with blending in. You know, it's very interesting to think about. Almost every animal has some kind of a pattern for some kind of a reason.
Yeah, definitely. And I've even heard that male lions have a harder time hunting with their huge mane.
Yeah.
But the mane serves another purpose of protecting their throat, neck, and vital areas when they're fighting with other males.
It's a trade-off. It's 100% a trade-off. And that's why males, like, if they get pushed out of their pride, they can really struggle. And they often, like, if you see lions scavenging off of other animals, like hyenas getting their prey stolen by, it's usually, like, those young loner male lions. It's like, I ain't running, wearing a parka, excuse you.
By the way, props to you, FYI, for giving hyenas the credit that they do their own hunting.
They do.
You are doing strides, Ashley, I'm very proud, making sure that the word out there, hyenas are capable hunters too. They're not just scavengers, despite popular belief.
Hyenas are not just like the ones we see in Lion King.
But, you know, it is also interesting to think about coats and plumages of animals because it actually takes a lot of care, you know? Looking after themselves, like sea otters are a prime example.
Yeah.
They have to constantly be fluffing up their fur. And the reason being is they've got super, super dense fur. And it traps air inside to keep them warm. So their skin isn't actually getting wet.
That's insane.
And a mother with a baby basically has to fluff that baby up so much that it can't physically sink or dive down if it wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, it's like... You know when a parent, like, wraps their kid up in so many clothings to keep warm at winter that they can't move their arms or legs?
Like, that's me in winter now.
like that. But imagine you're, like, floating on the water like that, and you're just, like, looking up at the stars and wondering, or the sun, waiting for mom to get back.
Like, everything's okay. I'm fine.
Tied up in some kelp as well so you don't drift too far off.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
what a life.
Yeah. Another thing you could talk about, too, is scars. So if you ever want to have an in-depth or definitely want to learn more about your coworkers, it's always cool to start that story about how you got your scars. I think we did that once in the staff room, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and they're never as cool as you think they are.
You see the scar on my left arm? See this?
Yeah.
Right down the left arm?
Yeah.
You know what did this?
No. Nope. It probably like a gate.
No. Avocado tree.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even joking, actually. Guacamole awesome. Did this to me. That's reaching awesome. For guacamole.
Oh my gosh. I've got like the weirdest little like lightning bolt scar on my forehead, almost like Harry Potter. And I got it from when I was a child. I decided when I was 3 years old that I didn't need training wheels. And I flipped my bike over and hit a rock with my skull.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on me forever. It was like when I was 3 years old and there's still a scar.
Wow. You
know, probably explains a lot about my personality.
And yeah. You know, yeah. This is it. Like, I'm agreeing with you in a nice way. Okay.
Yep. I'm taking it that way, definitely.
You took it the wrong way, Ashley. And that's all on you. That's not on me. But like, for example, you and me just shared some stuff about our scars. It actually is like a window into our lives, our life history.
It's so true.
And for many animals, it's true as well. Mm-hmm. We're able to actually understand what they're doing, when they're doing it, based on scars on their body. So, for example, we often see scars on sharks, especially around their fins, right? Their pectoral fins. And we find that's actually due to mating behavior.
Oh.
Even though we haven't observed it, we know that it's happening because we have observed it in other species. And we see the same scarring on some species, like the great white shark, who we haven't observed mating yet. So we get a good hint.
So we're not sure exactly when or where or how they exactly go through it, but we know it's happening.
Exactly.
Especially because the species continues.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
And it can even help us to identify sex. Going back to sea otters,
you know,
best way to identify a female from a distance is actually scarring on the nose.
Oh.
If they have scarring on the nose, that usually happens during mating with male sea otters. They'll often bite that area. So scarring of the nose is a very common way for researchers or
to
biologists
to actually identify. Oh, that's interesting.
Right? Some animals also have to constantly file down either their teeth, constantly growing, like many rodents, squirrels, beaver, are just like Theo here at the zoo, our southern white rhino. He likes to rub his horn on the many posts and boulders in his enclosure, as do rhinos everywhere, because that's constantly growing.
One of the really cool things I learned about rhinos is that they tend to actually shape the horn however they want.
Yeah.
So you end up with like the same species rhino, you have one with like a really thin, long, upwards facing horn. You have others that'll shape them almost forwards a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I found that so interesting that they're like, you know what? This is not my style. My style is more like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how they kind of almost personalize that.
And it's a perfect way for researchers to identify animals individual by individual. So instead of tagging, you can actually recognize individuals based on the patterns of their spots, like a fingerprint or markings.
That's what they do a lot with most spotted cats in the wild, is they'll identify them by the spotted pattern. Because you can find certain areas where if you identify each one on like the shoulder patch, right?
Mm.
You can tell the different styles from each other. That's actually how I've identified a lot of different animals before, is you can tell like different spots. And like, I don't know if you've ever noticed that Sahara specifically has a little Y on her butt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's very easy to identify her from others.
Exactly. And that's really cool to notice and take note of. I had to do that with howler monkeys before. And it's kind of funny because the best way to ID a howler monkey is really difficult to do because they sit up in the trees, up in the canopy, way above you.
Yeah.
You're not going to see them side on because you're not going to be that high up in a tree able to see them.
So you got to learn how to identify them from below.
Exactly. And below means butt.
Inappropriate, Cal.
It's science.
Jeez.
All right, science.
You keep telling yourself that.
So you actually have to look at the spots and the markings they have in that general area. Their butt and other parts have distinctive markings that allow you to identify individuals.
Interesting.
So that is the best way to identify something, where you have to look directly up.
Actually, I don't know if you've noticed that Milo, our youngest giraffe, he actually has a heart. One of his spots is like a perfect little heart on the right side of his neck. It's like my favorite. When I first noticed it, I was like, yes.
Yep.
The little heart giraffe.
I remember you showing me that. And Jagger has a T.
Yeah,
so
right
you
on,
can say.
Yeah, right on his shoulder. And if you look at Django, right on his face, he's got like a little IC. So I'm always like, I see Jenga.
Yeah. I see Jenga. You gotta love Milo. And that's Jagger to a T.
Yeah.
There you go. That's how you can identify our giraffes in case you come to visit the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
Yeah. Gotta love Milo.
And yeah, the grooming is so important. Like, birds have special preening oils that they use mm-hmm. to spread over their feathers to keep them in good shape. I know lemurs actually have some, I think it's the ringtail, have combed-shaped front teeth mm-hmm. that are specifically designed for grooming their fur.
Yeah.
Which is really, really important for yeah. the survival of a species.
Especially when you don't have, like, take active baths. You gotta figure out some way to keep clean.
Yeah.
You know, there's no shower facilities out in the forest. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Well, I mean, the monsoon season, I guess.
There you go.
But it's really fascinating to think about how markings help species survive, but also help us to better understand their lifestyles and yeah. their needs.
Or help us to show off. Like me. I am determined to have rainbow skin.
It actually has to be noted that changing our appearances through tattooing and scarring is actually a common thing that's popped up in many cultures around the world.
Oh, yeah.
I think one that's really cool that I find really interesting is a group in Papua New Guinea that basically use, I think, bamboo silk or something to cut their skin and form these scars that look a bit like crocodile skin, right?
Oh,
interesting. And those scars are supposed to be symbolic of the teeth of the great crocodile that basically swallows them whole and rebirths them as crocodile men.
Oh,
so it's a rite of passage, effectively.
That's really cool.
And that kind of thing, there's many different examples around the world, but it's just a thing that, you know, helps people connect nature or distinguish themselves.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, it is really cool.
Well, this has been an interesting conversation.
As always.
If anyone has any questions for us, please do not hesitate to contact us at podcast@gvzoo.com or DM us on our social media. I'm Callum Hughes.
And I'm Ashley Wysick.
And this has been
A Wild Conversation.